You're listening to 100 Creatives. This is episode 71. Hello, creatives. Sally Harris here with you again. Time is flying by. We are already up to episode 71 of our current season of 100 Creatives. Thank you so much for taking this time out of your day to join us for the show. Today, we are talking about all the things that we wish we knew how to do. And I've got a co-host here with me, as always. Hi, Brooklyn. How are you going?
Hey, Sally.
Thanks for joining us again.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too. Thank you so much for joining us for the show today. It's always great to catch up with you. Why don't you remind our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you love to do?
I'm Brooklyn. I'm a freelance portrait artist. Mm-hmm. I've been focusing on painting minimalistic portraits of animals, and I've been learning a lot about them as I've been painting them. I feel like they kind of understand us in a way that humans do, and it's been a really great experience for me.
Yes, fantastic. And everyone can go and check out your work on Instagram. That's when Brooklyn and I first met. What's your Instagram handle, Brooklyn?
It's just my name. It's Brooklyn Lamb.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to pause the show now and go and have a really quick look and come back, you're more than welcome to, but you have to promise creatives that you're going to come back and listen to our conversation today about all the things we wish we knew how to do. So, Brooklyn, why don't you kick us off today with a creative skill that you wish you had?
Music.
Music, yeah. Anything in particular? Instrument?
You know, I've played guitar, I played clarinet, I've mm-hmm. played piano. Mm-hmm. All of them I'm not good at and I don't do anymore. I've taken singing lessons 3 times and I still cannot sing.
Oh.
So I don't know if this is something that I know with creative skills, I know you're not necessarily born with it. You may be strongly attributed to certain things creatively, but it's just something that I feel like I'd have to spend all my time invested into to like be really good at.
Yeah.
You know, to get good at. What about you?
Yeah, I think actually it's funny because I was thinking before we got on this show, like there are loads of things that like I'm really average at that I would like to be a lot better at. I think I'm like, I would describe myself as proficient at a lot of skills, but not like exceptional at any of them. But there's none of them that I love like that much that I really want to practice and get better at. But I think thinking back to like 18 months ago, I'd never hosted a podcast before. I'd never like even been on a podcast. I used to listen to them, but I like had no idea about how to start doing it at all myself. And so I think probably then a creative skill that I wish I had was to know how to podcast. And it's really just through trial and error and teaching myself and an awful lot of Googling that I've learned how to do it. And since then, because I've like been self-taught all the way through, I've then been able to start my own class on Skillshare, which is teaching other people how to start their own podcast. And sure, it's like really just the basics, but as of tonight, which is towards the end of September, I've nearly had people watch my class for 500 minutes, which is really exciting because I thought, oh, I'll get like people watch 5 minutes and they'll just be done. But hello to my 25 students out there who have been watching 500 minutes worth of my class. It's really exciting.
Seems like it'd be such a rewarding thing to do to be able to host your own podcast show.
Yeah.
Just all the things that you learn about, it's going to be so invigorating for you.
Yeah, I really enjoy it actually. And I think Brooklyn and I were just talking before we started the show about how I don't naturally find conversation very easy. For those of you who know Myers-Briggs, I am an INTJ, which is a personality type that's not exactly known for becoming energized by having conversations with people. And I find that actually a lot of the time, if I've spent a lot of time with a lot of people, it's kind of like having a torch with a battery in it that's turned on all the time. And if you're on and you're talking to a lot of people as an introvert, eventually the battery runs out. And the only way to recharge that is to spend quality time by yourself doing things that you enjoy, which I think is where my love of doing creative projects kind of comes in, because that is something that really recharges me. But I've actually found that even though podcasting is having a conversation, and that would generally be something that's quite draining to me, because it's a conversation about something that really excites me, I actually find it has the opposite effect, and I come away feeling really excited and energized and enthusiastic. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's really like, it's interesting how it works, but I think that because it is something that that I have in common, it's not, I think I find small talk particularly draining, because I'm like, oh, I've got to like think of a topic, and sometimes the person you're talking to will often just be like give you really short answers, and I'm like, well, where do I have to like go from here? I've asked all these things, and like, you're not really giving me much to keep it going. And so I think actually getting to talk to people that you already have so many things in common with and like common interests is really exciting.
So, yeah, it's so cool. Yeah. I think most people can resonate with the small talk factor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's really hard to explain the feeling to extroverts who love that conversation and the small talk, and that they come away feeling a lot more excited by a lot of conversations. And I have a couple of extroverts in my family who are just like, you're just being difficult. I'm like, no, I really just, I need to not people right now. And they're like, oh. So.
No, I understand you. I, on the Myers-Briggs, I'm actually an ENFP. So I'm technically an extrovert.
Yeah.
But I definitely am an introvert too, because I need my alone time. Like, if I don't wake up before everybody and I'm just by myself, I feel kind of robbed a little bit. Yeah, like I'm a better person when I have that time for myself. So, but I definitely can switch it on and off. I don't know if that's a performer thing or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think when you're in the creative field, you kind of, especially musicians, they can just go on stage and put it on, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I find that I definitely have like personas for different occasions, like with different groups of people. I have like different amounts of energy depending on what the group is and how much energy they'll give me in return. So I think that
that's so true.
I find it really hard then when you have people from different groups that meet and you're kind of the common interest. So I'm like, well, with these people, I'd normally be more like this, but with these other people, I'm normally this kind of person. And so what do I do? I'm like conflicted because everyone's watching. So
just roll with it.
Yeah, that's it. I think I might be overthinking it way too much, but do you have something that you've tried but you haven't loved?
I've tried the music thing, but I've tried sewing. My mom is a great sewer, and she's probably taught me a dozen times over the years. And there was a time where I was trying to design my own clothing and sketch it out, my sketchbook and everything, and make my own clothes. But I just couldn't, my heart wasn't into it. It took too much precision and math and perfectionism that it just didn't resonate with me. I'm just not a perfectionist. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about that, but, I know most artists are perfectionists, and I struggle to be a perfectionist because I think it is important in some aspects, but in some aspects I feel like it's a crutch too. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I have really high expectations of myself. I don't really like the term perfectionist because I feel like it has negative connotations in a way that I don't necessarily see it as a negative thing, if that makes sense. So like, I think I probably strive to be a perfectionist, but I don't see that as a negative thing. I think that that's me having like high expectations and high standards that I'm reaching for, and that I don't think that I get particularly like downtrodden and disheartened if I don't achieve those standards. But I like to think, I like having those high goals to reach for, I guess. And if that means that people see me as a perfectionist, well, that's okay. But I don't necessarily think that being a perfectionist is a bad thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I totally agree with you. There are some people though that with everything they do has to be a certain way, and I think with that it's like, just, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. And it was funny.
It's gonna be like that, you know. Sometimes sometimes in my work, I just have to walk away from it, and then, you know, and not go to it again, or come back in a couple of days and just with new eyes or something. I just can't like keep going at it.
Yeah.
I get it exhausts me.
Well, and I think sometimes it's okay to say, look, this isn't working. It's not turning out how I wanted it to turn out. I'm going to start again. I'm going to have another go. It's okay. But it's funny because we were talking today in the car about in potions, in Harry Potter, in their potions lessons, that it requires a certain amount of precision. And, like, Harry is always very average at potions. But we were laughing because really it's like reading a recipe. Like, they never have to create their own potion. It's always, here's the set of instructions, and you follow these and you make this particular potion, like, to a varying standard. And that's, that, like, kind of seems to be the range of it. But actually, how precisely you can follow those instructions will have an impact on the final product. And I think, like, there are things that I really care about being, like, being well done and being precisely done, and that I appreciate to a high standard. And there are other things that I'm kind of like, well, you know, near enough is good enough. And so, like, a good example is like last night's dinner. I'm home by myself. I'm like, right, I'm going to cook dinner for myself. Let me see what we have. And so I kind of start looking through the cupboards, and I'm like, oh, it's not that much here. I think I've probably got enough things to make, like, spaghetti carbonara. So, like, you generally need, like, eggs, bacon, cream, onions, pasta. Kind of they're the main things that you would need. And I was like, okay, I know how to make it kind of from scratch off the top of my head. Let me see if we had those kind of ingredients. And so I'm looking through the fridge, and we didn't have bacon. We didn't have cream, but we had eggs and we had pasta. We didn't have onion, but we had garlic. So I'm like, okay, I can make carbonara using pasta, eggs, garlic. There are some sausages in the freezer, so I'll get those out and have those instead of bacon. And then we didn't have any cream, but we had milk. And so, you know, I made a version of carbonara, which wasn't, it wasn't bad. It wasn't like the best meal I'd ever had, but it was okay. But yeah, like, I just don't have that level of precision to worry about it when I'm cooking. I'm like, yeah, look, this is roughly in the ballpark of what I was aiming for, so it's fine.
But yeah, I feel like there's more performance anxiety when you're making it for other people. Like, if you make it for yourself, it's like, okay, I'll eat this. But then if you make it for your family, it's like, I feel like I have more, like, nervousness about how I'm going to accomplish all this.
Oh, definitely. And I think that this is a total tangent on this topic, but we definitely have had one particular dinner party that people will constantly bring up, which was, we decided to make carbonara for people, except that we used a recipe we'd never used before, and there was nowhere near enough sauce to the point where it ended up as, like, scrambled eggs on pasta with, like, a couple of bits of bacon. Like, it was very, the sauce was nowhere near enough for the quantity of pasta that the recipe said to cook. And then in our relationship, I normally cook the main course and my husband normally cooks dessert. But for this one, we'd switched around. So he did the scrambled eggs pasta. And then I decided that the friend that was coming really liked lemon meringue pie. And so lemon meringue pie is like a pie base. It's got like a lemon curd in it. And then it's got a big fluffy meringue on the top. And I was like, yep, this friend really likes it. I'm going to make that. So I start, like, preparing it. The friends arrive at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., I get up to, like, step 7 of the recipe. And step 7 says, leave it to chill in the fridge for 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, well, how am I meant to, like, cook it for, you know, an hour or whatever it needed, and then chill it for 2 hours, and then do the top layer, and then cook it again, and then serve it cold? Like, there's no way this is going to work. So I kind of I tried to speed it up and rush through it a bit. And pretty much it ended up being lemon meringue soup. It was like liquidy lemon curd with bits of, like, biscuit base and meringue, like, icebergs floating on top. It was a total disaster. So,
oh my goodness. I know. I've done a million meals like that too. I feel like, well, cooking is like a creative thing that I love cooking, and but I just have to have the time for it to really deeply work in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because my husband's described me as being like a terminology of baseball. Like, I'm Babe Ruth. Like, he had the most home runs, but he had the most strikeouts also.
Yeah.
And he's a base hitter. He's just, like, constantly consistent with, like, meals. So whenever we have people over, he's always making them meals.
Yeah. I know. And I think I had the floor of, oh, someone's coming over, I should try something new.
I feel like that all the time. So.
Yeah, that's not the time, I think. I think it should be, no, it's just us. I should try something new. Okay, that worked. Now I can roll it out for other people. But, oh, well.
No, it's hard to put a stop to your adventurous leaning.
Yeah, and lucky we're good at other things, right? What is a skill or attribute that you wish you had that would help you to master new creative skills, I guess? Help you learn things you wish you knew how to do?
A creative skill? I actually wasn't sure about this one. Fortunately, I've had a husband who's been so practical and level-headed to help me navigate with my business and everything. Mm-hmm. But creatively wise, I knew going into this journey that I had to pick one thing to be good at. I didn't want to be a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Yeah. So
painting was my choice many years ago, and I'm just going to continue to hone my skill and just try to be better every day with it.
Yeah, fantastic.
What about you? What's something that you wish that you knew?
It's probably like exactly what you said there, which is I wish I had realized earlier on that I should pick one thing and focus on that and become really good at that rather than dipping in and out of lots of things, which I think a lot of creatives do, and definitely a lot of people I've talked to on the show before, do this and this and this and this. But I think that actually being able to do one thing really well to a really high level is definitely like a skill in itself. And it does take that like meta thought about it and sitting down and stepping back and saying, right, I'm going to do this with a plan rather than I'm going to do this till I get tired of it and then I'll do something else. Because I think that, like you said earlier, with like the musical instruments, it is hard to learn a musical instrument because it requires coming back to it every day or coming back to it super often and continuing to work on it and invest time in it. And even if you're not sounding exactly how you want to sound, you need to keep coming back and putting in the work and putting in the work, and eventually you'll get closer to where you want to be. And I think that it's really easy to compare where you're at to where you want to be at and get disheartened because you think, well, I'm never going to be able to play that because I'm so far away from doing it now. But I think it's, nowadays, you really don't see people putting in the work that often. We see a lot of like the finished pieces, and that's what people are sharing online, but you don't see people sharing day after day, like, this is the hard work that's going on behind the scenes.
That is really true.
Yeah. And so I think that disheartens people, and it makes people not want to put in the hard work because they don't see other people putting in the hard work. But actually, the more successful people appear online, like the harder they're working behind the scenes, I think.
I know. That's what we talked about too before, like the process of it. It is hard work, the process, but it's what kind of gives you the oomph to keep going too, because personally you see the bits and pieces where you are improving and it kind of gets you going, but just the workflow of it just makes you happy. So you just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think like the better that you get at something, the more fun it becomes. So the more you want to do it, and it kind of goes around and around.
Right. Is there anything creatively that you do just for a hobby that you don't really take seriously, just when you're unwinding?
I probably dance around the house a lot, particularly now that we have our baby.
We have a baby to dance with now.
Yeah, exactly. And I put her in the high chair, and like while her like dinner is heating up in the microwave, like I'm defrosting it, I'm like dancing around in front of her to like keep her entertained. And she's like, she's an excellent audience. She like gives you all the smiles and the giggles, which is what you want.
I know, that's fast.
It's really funny it's almost like if you've ever seen Love Actually, when Hugh Grant is dancing and he thinks no one's watching and he's dancing around the 10 Downing Street and he's doing all these moves and it's got like a really corny song on in the background and he's dancing and dancing. I'll see if I can find a clip of it and put it in the show notes in case there's anyone left on the planet that hasn't seen Love Actually, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. But it's definitely like that. It's like really – it's really dorky dad dancing pretty much. And it's like popping out from behind the fridge door and like dancing a bit more. And it's really cool.
Right. It improves your mood. I've heard too with singing, even though I don't sing well, but it improves your mood like 3 times.
Oh,
higher.
For sure. Yeah. And I love like singing along in the car.
It's gonna be the same thing.
Yeah. I know. And so I always joke, you know, I'm only singing to the baby when she's been bad. She's been naughty. Oh. But no, I do enjoy that. And I think it's great. Because she doesn't care. She doesn't care how, like, what the scene is like. She just likes that you're there and you're engaging and you're involved and you're present. So, you know, that kind of adds to the the fun of it as well. And singing by yourself, because like no one else is caring. And so, you know, why should you? It's just fun. So,
I know, it is fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Brooklyn.
Thank you, Sally.
If you want to find out any more about everything that Brooklyn and I have been chatting about today, this is episode 71, so go and check it out. In the show notes, I'm gradually inching my way closer to 100 episodes. I'm really excited for the day that I get to 100 episodes of 100 Creatives. Stay tuned for next episode, episode 72. We're going to be talking all things self-care for creatives, which I think is something that is very easily goes by the wayside for us, but it's also super, super important. Make sure you head to Instagram and follow the show. We're at 100creatives.com. And let me try that again. Go and follow the show on Instagram. We're at 100.creatives. And you can head to 100creatives.com to find out everything else that you'd like to know about the show, including everything about our lovely co-hosts. Thanks for joining me again, Brooklyn, for this episode of 100 Creatives. And until next time, happy creating. And thank you so much for still listening. Just because we've gone through our final closing music doesn't mean the fun is over. As Brooklyn and I were preparing for the show today, we were talking about how much we miss having the creative soapbox at the start of every episode. So this is a special extra bonus creative soapbox for you all. For those of you who have just joined the show for the first time, the creative soapbox is a chance to share something we are loving creatively at the moment. Brooklyn, what are you loving?
I am a very impatient painter. I like to go really fast sometimes. So I love that my acrylic paint dries fast. But for those projects where I feel like my hand wants to soak up the brushstrokes and just get deep in the moments, I love the golden slow drying acrylic paint. It's like it's a nod to oil paint, and it literally is like painting with butter. It's so nice.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. It is hard to get stuff that is like that really thick, because I know the golden paints are those really vibrant colors, but to know that it's that really thick, like
right,
good quality is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had that when I was doing my 100 day project. Although if I buy any more tubes of paint, I think my husband might move out. So
no, you can do it.
Yeah, I just sneak them in. I would say the thing that I am loving at the moment is my new 50 millimeter fixed length lens for my Canon SLR camera. If you haven't had a chance to try a lens like this, it's a portrait lens, and it makes you look like the best photographer ever.
Yeah, the same one actually.
Yeah, it is so fantastic. Great. The photos are such good quality. It has a really great way of blurring the background but making the subject really sharp, to the point where I can actually give my camera to other people and they can take great portraits as well with very little knowledge of how the camera works, which is really great, because it also means that now I can be in some of our family photos. It's not just me documenting my husband and our daughter's life together. So that's really nice as well to be able to pass it to people and get some really great quality photos. So I'll put a link to the lens in the show notes, but if you do have an SLR camera and you don't have this like fixed length portrait style lens, it's definitely worth investing in. It's fantastic. Cool. Thanks for sticking around and enjoy the show. Keep enjoying the show, and we'll see you next time.